The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Ron Kruger from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
We've been doing a Bible study through the book of Genesis, and now as we're into Genesis chapter 21, I'd like to read the first six verses tonight, and we may just unhook right after that, but we'll just kind of see however the way the Lord leads tonight. In verse 1, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." Let's all bow our heads as we ask the Lord to bless the word tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here tonight in the service. We thank you for the great atmosphere we have. I thank you for the good music we've already enjoyed. And we ask now, as we try to bring these few verses, the beginning of this chapter, that you would just direct our hearts and our minds. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, that everything in life is all just something blessed of God. The things that you do are awesome. The way you answer, the way you take care of us. And I pray tonight that you just now bless as we bring these thoughts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin, first of all, by reminding you that years ago, as a pastor of a church that had a big church sign, we always had to go out there and put these different phrases on the sign. I got a hold of a book every year. I've got about 10 books on sign statements and things you can put on a church sign. But they had one side of it that was church sign bloopers. Now I want you to think about these. The first one, and imagine your church. Say your church has a church sign and you drive up on Sunday morning and you read this on the church sign. "The dieting support group will meet at 7 o'clock. Please use large double door at the side entrance." Or better yet, think of this. "The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict." Or, "Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help." "The class on prophecy has been canceled due to unforeseen circumstances." For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Think of this. And the last one. "Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a good chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands." You know, you've got to have laughter in life. You've got to have happiness. You've got to have joy. You've got to have a positive outlook in life. In our verses, in verse number 6, is amazing to me, because we're going to see a little bit inside the chapter as well. But it said, "And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." You know, many years ago, after I had just came to know Christ, the Lord dealt with me about my attitude. Me and my dad, I was an only son, and my dad was raising me as good as he could. He had four other brothers when he was growing up. But he would look at me, and with that stern face, he would tell me, "Okay, let's go out and work in the yard. We're men. Well, we go out and work in the yard, and sure enough, as you know, time went on, I learned to have that stern face all the time. Well, you know, when I got saved, people started coming to me and they said, "Ron, what's wrong? What's wrong?" And I would tell them, I said, "Nothing's wrong." She says, "Well, I just saw you walking down the aisle and I looked on your face and it looks like you're mad." And right then and there, the Lord began to kind of impress on my heart, you need to change your attitude. You know, life is amazing, but there's so many things, even inside the chapter of our story tonight, that I want to give to you. That as we see, Christians need to be happy people. Every one of us tonight, I want to just take just a moment because of our text. It says, Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. And I want to ask every single one of us here tonight, I want you to laugh. Now, one, two, now I don't want to chuckle. I don't want to whimper. But I want right down from inside, someone just told you the funniest joke. Everything's in your brain. No one else maybe knows what's going on, but I want you to laugh, and I want you to do it on the count of three. One, two, three. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay. So everybody here knows how to laugh, and don't you feel better? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, a few years ago as a pastor, I convinced myself that I would never take on a missionary for support unless they had a sense of humor. Life is too serious. Problems you face in ministry are so awesome. And if you just don't start with a sense of humor, right down the road a little ways, there's a good chance you may just decide to step out. But I want you to see some things inside this chapter, though. First of all, I got to give this to you, though. What do people think when we laugh? Now, people that rode by and maybe say if we had glass windows around there and they saw us laughing, they didn't know what we were laughing about. What do most people think about when people are laughing and they just walk up on it and they don't understand why? Well, we're not stable. We're touched from birth. We're intoxicated. We're simple, not serious-minded. We're seriously not right. I've been accused of that. Medically challenged. We're not reliable because we're flighty. Now, not making light of people who have problems chemically, imbalance, and those kind of issues, I want to say this. This chapter makes you feel like you're bipolar. Look at verse 1 down to verse 3. It says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken unto him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac." Now, can you imagine the pride in his mind as he's looking now at a son he has waited so long for? I mean, the pride is just oozing out. The promised son is here. Isaac is in front of me. This is what God has promised, and I had to wait 13 years to find this out. Well, the pride is involved in the chapter, but look in verse number 6, Sarah also laughing. Sarah said, "God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me." Now, not only is there pride involved, there's laughing. But in verse number 9, we see Ishmael, the 13-year-old boy with an attitude, is mocking. It says, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking." This is a roller coaster ride all the way through the chapter. In verse number 20, or verse number 10 down to verse number 12, Abraham is grieving. It says, "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight, because of his son." Now, that isn't bad enough is that the pride is involved, laughing, mocking, Abraham grieving, but also the last part of the chapter, or verse 14 out of verse 16, Hagar is crying. In life, I want to ask you something tonight. What makes you laugh? What is it about life that really just gets a hold of us and causes us to fail to realize that Christians ought to be happy, they ought to laugh, The first thing we notice in verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. In Genesis chapter 17, a few weeks ago in our study, we read in verse number 1 down to verse number 8, that in verse number 1, because God is trustworthy, Christians should laugh. Most of us, I maybe don't realize what I'm about to tell you, but in life you need to be happy. But isn't it true that God is trustworthy? No matter what we go through in life, and what his promises here in chapter number 17, verse number 1, is this. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will. Now, beginning in verse number 2, he says, I will make my covenant between thee. It says, I will multiply thee exceedingly. He said in verse number 6, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant. There is 7 different times that God says there, I will. Now, you got problems in life? Realize this, God is trustworthy enough that in life, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, it says there, and also, and as he had spoken. God's trustworthy. The second thing we notice in verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Oftentimes in our lives, we often wonder, is God really know what's going on? Now realize in the story, there was 13 years between Ishmael and Isaac. This long period of time, they waited. They said, well, God promised that we would have the promised son come along. And all those years, they waited. It says in that verse that there was a set time. Well, because God is trustworthy, we ought to laugh. Because God is on time, we ought to laugh. In the book of Psalms, there's a verse that reminds me is just awesome. In verse chapter 126, verse 1 down to verse number 3. It reads like this. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Aren't you glad God is first of all trustworthy? And also second of all, God is always on time. But notice the third one in verse number 3, God is also all-knowing. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Anybody know what Isaac means? Laughter. When God gives children, isn't it amazing that we as parents have to start to learn how to laugh again? I mean, they teach us all kinds of things. They teach us to be truthful, to be kind. All those things we forget as parents as we get older. It's like we're teaching our kids and they're saying, but mommy, you did this the other day. Daddy, why did you do that the other day? You know, it always comes back to us as parents. But the fact is that in the story we read that God is all-knowing about everything. Isaac means laughter, and the whole plan behind Isaac is awesome. Just through the chapter, but we are not going to go to it all. Okay. In verse number 4, we also see that God develops obedience. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now, Abraham had learned a really important lesson in life, and that is much what it says in the book of Samuel, to obey is better than sacrifice. But God develops obedience in our lives, much like Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, down to verse number 10. He was called to go out, and it said, Abraham obeyed. Now, every once in a while, have you ever felt God bless you and do something for you, and you just kind of chuckle? You ever had a holy giggle where you're sitting back oftentimes and God just answered a prayer request that you prayed 2 weeks ago and you completely forgot about it. Then all of a sudden you're driving along and there's a guy in a car right next to you and he's watching you and you think, wow, I prayed that 2 weeks ago and God just did that. And you start to laugh. You just kind of chuckle. Like, wow, God did that. And the guy next to you is looking over at you like you're strange, you know? Well, God knows all things. He's on time. He's trustworthy. God also develops obedience in us in verse number 4. But a fifth thing we notice in verse 5, God is also unrestricted. That's why we ought to laugh. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. I had a lot of things I thought about doing, but I thought one thing, and that was, what if I came home to my wife one day and said, Darlene, guess what? God told me something. She says, oh, that's good, Ron. That's good. And I said, well, Darlene, you know, sit down. I'm excited. God told me something. I got to tell you about it. And she sits down and she wonders, what in the world? You know, just this guy's lost it, you know. And guess what, Darlene? You're going to have a baby. I mean, could you imagine? You know, you wonder why she laughed. And I loved a lot of the stuff. Where is Greg anyway? There he is. I loved a lot of stuff he brought out last week in his study. Because a lot of the things he had said just goes kind of along with this. Because God is unrestricted by whatever our problems are. Abraham was 100 years old. And it starts to get me to ask the question, what kind of restrictions do we put on God? Now, I want to ask you, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time much more than what I've done already tonight, but I want to ask you, are you trusting God to take care of all things? God is always on time. It said in that verse, at that set time, you may have to wait 13 years or you may not. Because God is all-knowing, Isaac means laughter. God has a plan in mind. If we just hang in there, God will show it to us. God develops our obedience step by step by step. Then that last one was that God was unrestricted. I always like to write down in my notes, because it's amazing to me that Colonel Sanders didn't start KFC till he was, what, 80 years old? I mean, can you imagine a man that is unrestricted that much that he says, hey, I'm 80 years old and my kids are probably getting ready to put me in a nursing home, but I'm going to start a business. And it becomes a national chain called KFC. Well, why should we laugh? Because laughter is contagious. She said, so that all that hear will laugh with me. There's some amazing things, but I'm going to read just something real quick like and try to kind of close out. And that is, it is to be noted that it was the birth of Isaac which revealed the true character of Ishmael. Part of my notes later on down the road, I also talked about Ishmael being a type of the nation Israel. Now, if you never thought about that, I'd love to show you sometime. But it says here, we know practically nothing of Ishmael's life before the birth of Isaac. But as soon as this child of promise made his appearance, the real nature of Hagar's son was made manifest. He may have been very quiet and orderly before, but as soon as the child of God's quickening power came on the scene, Ishmael showed that he was by persecuting and mocking him. And here again, the type holds good. It is not until the believer receives the new nature that he discovers the real character of the old. It is not until we are born again we learn what a horrible and vile thing this flesh really is. It's amazing in our chapter to see the application of Hagar crying and how that God still had his hand upon her. God still allowed Ishmael to be the leader of a great nation. Now, one was of the flesh, one was of the spirit. But I will say that Isaac's birth was a miracle. His life was an example. And his opposite came along in Ishmael mocking. But Ishmael also was inside God's plan. I'd like for everybody to bow your heads for just a moment. And I'm going to let the preacher, the singers, whatever they have planned for tonight, come up in just a minute. But as Christians, we always ought to be positive. I began to ask myself when I read the little verse there down to verse number 6, why is it that the Lord forced her to laugh? Well, one thing is we take life too serious. Another thing is that Sarah was going through a situation in her life where she's an evidence of a miracle. Now I want to ask you tonight, as we noticed a little bit about the two natures further on in the chapter of Ishmael and also Isaac, has there ever been a time in your life where the Holy Spirit convicted and spoke to your heart? You know, God is a great God. He's worthy to be trusted. He can take care of all things. He's always there for us. He's always on time. But you've got to have that trust, that faith in Him. You know, this new couple that's going to be married tonight, it's awesome to imagine the beginning of a marriage. Now, I want to remind you, because me and Darlene just got married just 3 years ago. Now, I was married for a long time, first marriage. Then all of a sudden, my life just flip-flopped. Never thought I'd be in that scenario. But you know one thing I did learn? Is that even if you're in your 50s, God can take two individual people and put them together and build an awesome relationship that honors God. But you've got to trust Him. You've got to follow Him. You've got to realize He's in charge of all things. You've got to put Him first in life. One of the greatest examples anyone ever gave me right after I had gotten married years ago was a triangle. He says, the man's on this side, the woman's on this side, and God's at the top. When you go through life, if you try to figure everything out between you, you clash. But if you both get closer to God, all things work out.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.